the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, Brains, and welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. Here, this right here, this is the spot, okay? This is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. There is such thing as Santa Claus, and I tell you, he brought me a present today, a beautiful gift. Actress and singer Maria Howell. Her list of accreditations in song and film and television span over two pages. She was born in Gastonia, North Carolina. She graduated from Winston-Salem State University. She's worked as a jazz singer in film, and her debut was in The Color Purple. She's been in Army Wives, The Game, Necessary Roughness, The Vampire Diaries, Daddy's Little Girl, The Blind Side, Hunger Games, and the list goes on and on. I'm so honored that she is sharing some space with us here on the Edge. Let's welcome her to the Edge. There she is right there, Brains, Maria Howell. Hi.
Hello, Brains. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Thank you so much for spending some time with us. And, you know, during the holiday season, I know that you're very, very busy, but I just am just so honored that you're spending some time with us to talk about music, film, and what you're doing in the world today. Tell us a little bit about where it all began for you, and why did you want to become an actress?
Well, it all began professionally with The Color Purple as a choir soloist. But I knew when I was 6 years old, I'm saying somewhere around the ages of six or seven is when I knew what I would be. Although I went to college as a pre-med major, I always had the singing and the acting, especially singing inside of me. So I knew that was going to be my destiny. I knew that without a shadow of a doubt. And I can't explain it any better than just the voice of God told me. And I don't want to put it off on anything else but God, because I don't listen to a whole lot of other voices.
I don't either, because there's a lot of noise running around out there. It is. So also singing, where did you get your musical training?
Well, my mom was my very first trainer because my mom played trumpet before I was born. Also sang, we sang on this church choir together. And then when I got into an organized church group organized choir outside of church, that was in high school and then college. And then, you know, the rest is history. But my mom would always take me under her wing. And if I had music in high school that I didn't understand, she would sing it with me. Yeah. And it was an advantage being on the same church choir, because that I could hear, my ears started getting trained. And so, yeah, she was my very first. And then I had a couple others after that. And I was always with the music and always with the sciences. So,
yeah. I mean, just beautiful. Your voice, you have a brand new release, a musical Christmas holiday. And I have been playing it. And Ooh. Oh yes, I love that. I absolutely love it.
It's very soothing.
It is very soothing. And I mean, you just look just so beautiful and angelic at the mic there. So how did you start in the music industry? I mean, you know, I know that you have a musical background, but what made you want to start recording music?
Well, I mean, I think that's just a natural thing that any singer wants to do at some point. My very first full-time musical gig was in Charlotte, North Carolina, at a place called Jonathan's Jazz Cellar. And while we were there, you know, people would approach us and ask if we wanted to record. And of course we did. So we, our first recording was called, I think it's Time. I think, no, maybe it was something before that. I don't even remember, but we recorded, and one thing led to another. We were played on the radio. We got more gigs, and we would always be opening up for different acts around town. The name of our group back then was Maria Howell and the 7th Street Band. And the venue located on the corner of 7th Street and Tryon Streets in Charlotte. So, you know, as time went on, we recorded more, and the band configurations changed throughout the years, and I was performing with different people. And I would always like to archive more for that purpose more than anything else, because, you know, some of those people that I listened to, they all recorded. You know, you want to have something to kind of mark your growth and your in the industry. Absolutely. So yeah.
So tell me how it felt when you got the phone call that you got the gig for The Color Purple. And, you know, we're talking about Steven Spielberg and, you know, Quincy Jones and Oprah Winfrey. I mean, just what happened to you? Just how'd you feel?
Well, I think it's so interesting because that story is, I'm going to try to condense it as much as possible. When I auditioned for that movie, I didn't know what I was auditioning for.
Oh, wow.
Role that I still to this day don't know what that was for. So there were about 3,000 of us over there. It was on A&T's campus in North Carolina. And when we went into the audition 8 hours later, it was like, that's it? You know, because we were some of the last ones to go. And I'm saying us because of a few friends of mine from college. And so after we all had gone up on stage and they were like, well, thank you, that'll be it. They didn't ask us to act, read, sing, anything. And then we all left. Well, they left. And I kind of stuck around and I asked the casting director, would she please keep my photo on file? And once she did that, I said, oh, and by the way, I sang too. Mm. And I sang here. I sang, God bless the child in her ear. And she's like, oh, well, do you know any gospel music? I'm like, sure. Didn't know what in the world I was getting ready to do, but she had whisked back up on stage, and that was my brain test. I had no idea what was going on. I was so green. God, it was so green. And so the next day when I got the call, I was like, oh, this is exciting. Oh, my God, I'm going to be in a movie. That's all I cared about.
Oh, my God. And then when you got there and you had the realization of what was really going down.
No, I still didn't. I still didn't. Because there were three songs and three soloists. I didn't know that I had to audition again for the solo spot. And then before the movie was, I mean, I knew there were three songs. I didn't know my song was going to be the turning point in the movie. I had no idea. Not until we saw the finished product at the theater did I know.
And then when it was nominated for an Academy Award, did that blow your wig back?
Yeah, it was pretty overwhelming because at the wrap party, the band that I performed, the 7th Street Band,
yes,
they were the rap party. And so someone said, because you're the soloist, why don't you get them to sing a song with the band? And they invited me to sing a song. And they called me the next day and asked, would I be a part of their band? And I think at that point, I was more excited about being in a band than any acting career because I wanted to sing.
Right. And
5 years later, you know, then I started back acting because it was a 5-year hiatus between me starting with The Color Purple and when I really started delving into acting. Yeah.
I mean, you have jumped in it with both feet, okay? You really did. And I am so glad to see that. What does being a creative do for your soul? How does that make you feel? And what do you want to project as you create these characters and bring them to life?
Well, being a creative is freedom for me because it allows me to really explore my own aspirations into any role that I'm doing. It gives me an opportunity to explore myself because you got to bring part of yourself to every role anyway. It's just that whether you want to or not, it's going to happen. And so just being free enough and feeling like I'm in a very privileged place, because I also believe this is, if we use it in the correct form, it's a ministry because it inspires other folks.
Yes, ma'am. You know, yes, ma'am.
For us, you know, I don't look at this career. Yeah, it pays my bills. Thank God.
Right.
I'm blessed to have something that I do, whether that's singing, voiceover, or acting, that I do that sustains me and maintains my well-being. But the greater picture is to be able to do things and inspire others and show others, hey, I did it this way. You can do it this way or another way. You can do it is the point. You can do it.
Well, the fact of doing it is what's going down. And, you know, the industry has struggled and had so much hoopla going on about, you know, us staying in our lane as African-American women, And with the opening of Tyler Perry's mega studio there, he has really created a lane for us to drive in our industry. I mean, as far as writing, production, promotion, distribution, all of that.
In front of and behind the camera, which is so important. Because when I'm consulting and coaching kids or younger people or anybody that wants to get into the industry, I'm always telling them, don't just think of being the actor.
Right.
We need you to write so we can do our acting jobs, you know? Absolutely. So yeah, he has really, really opened up a gateway, which I'm really proud of.
I'm proud of him too. I really am, because again, that lets people know that we can do it and that we don't need others, that we are self-sustainable and that we can do it for ourselves. Let me ask you a couple random questions. If you were not a singer and actress, what would you be?
Probably a counselor or a psychiatrist.
And why would you be a psychiatrist or a counselor?
I am so into what makes things work as far as emotions and how to enhance your life and how to be more joyful and fulfilled. I'm always into stuff like that. I always have been. And so I'm very introspective. And when I like to talk to people, I like to talk one-to-one, like we're doing now. I really, really like that. I like a small group setting, but I really like to ask people, what is it that you want to do in your life? What are ways that you're doing it? Are you moving toward it? Because I'm always about connecting the dots. And I knew that when I was a teenager, that would be part of what I do. I knew that I would have a lot to say. I knew that I would have a voice that I'd have to learn how to like and be able to speak, you know? Right. So I'd be a counselor.
That's wonderful. So we're talking a little bit about reinventing yourself. I do a lot about that on my show, On the Edge with April Mahoney. Everybody wants to show up authentic. Everybody wants to be a transformational this, a transformational that, you know, and that's great. So reinventing yourself. You reinvent yourself time and time again as you play these characters and you bring them to life. What is your favorite time period? Do you have a favorite time period that you like to...
That's a good question. Oh, wow. I love period pieces. So I think if I had to go, I've done things that have taken me back to the 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, 1950s, 1960s. So I love going back in history. I don't know a specific decade though, but it would be somewhere between the 20s, the 40s, somewhere in those two. Yeah.
What do you like least about acting? And the reason why I say that is not so much about acting, but girl, I know you'd be sitting in that makeup chair for hours, or you'd be sitting on the set, or what is it that, you know, is kind of like your pet peeve when it comes to, you know, acting?
But it's really interesting. I don't sit in the makeup chair a long time. It seems like most of the roles I get, I got to look halfway plain. So they don't have to do so much. Put a wig on. No, seriously, the thing I like the least about it is probably the business side of the politics of it.
Right.
I don't know who does. I don't necessarily love the politics because they tend to get a little nitpicky sometimes, especially when we audition for roles. I mean, I think there's whatever you have to do, whatever is in your lane to do, you have plenty of options. You have plenty of choices to make within that.
Right.
But a lot of times we find ourselves comparing ourselves to each other and thinking that because somebody else is, you know, has an opportunity that it slights us. No, it doesn't.
Right.
No,
absolutely.
You got to know where you fit, and you got to know your skill set. You got to know your talents. You got to know your gifts, and you got to know, you know, you work on that, work on you and where what your journey is,
and
rather than spending
your wealth and be able to ask for it. There's so many women just on any level that don't understand their value and their worth. And then they find themselves behind the eight ball and they wonder why I didn't get paid what, you know, this person or that person, because you didn't negotiate, because you didn't speak up for it.
That's a big thing too. That's a big thing too. And also, like I said, if you know your skill set and know where you fit, then you won't spend time trying to be somebody else or be like somebody, because there may be another a revenue stream that's more suited for you in addition to acting. For example, if I want to, I mean, although it's the same thing as acting also, but it's a different part of acting, me doing voiceover work. I do a lot more voiceover work, believe it or not, than I do TV and film.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what is a voiceover? What does that mean? What does that look like? What kind of work is that?
For the voiceover person? Is anything where you don't see the face, you just hear the voice. Mm-hmm. And that can come, and up under that umbrella of voiceover can be video games, can be audiobooks, can be straight commercials, it can be promos. Like, for example, if you're looking at a network and you hear about a show, and I'm going to just use NBC for an example, it's like, on NBC, such and such on Friday, premiering on NBC, you know, that's a voiceover.
Oh, okay. That's wonderful.
I remember right when the Whitney Houston movie was getting ready to come out, I did the promo for Pandora streaming.
Okay. All right.
And it's like, Whitney Houston was this, and Whitney Houston with a voice, and Whitney Houston. Yeah, that's a voiceover job.
I'm hearing that a lot of actors now are going to be doing voiceover for Siri. You'll be able to ask, you know, Maria Howe to give you directions on how to get to the next Starbucks. And that's fabulous. I want to ask you one more question. Look,
3/4 of a mile, make right.
That's wonderful. And I will tune you in. Broadway. Have you done a lot of work on Broadway? And do you see yourself going that way?
I have always had a dream of Broadway. And the reason why I don't do a lot of theater in Broadway, and well, if Broadway called me tomorrow, I'd be on the next plane flying. And Broadway's, I love to do Broadway. I've always had aspirations. But the thing about theater for me is, because I do so much singing and because I'm doing TV and film, having that space of time, making that space of time is difficult. Because, you know, with theater, you've got to carve out a chunk of time.
You do. That's 6 days straight. So they want that.
Yeah. Well, and I spent a lot of time singing and traveling around with that and doing TV and film. And it's just tough. That's all at this time.
Is there anything that you can share with us before we conclude an exclusive? Is there anything that you're working on?
Actually, yeah. Keith David and I have a film that's still on the festival circuit. I've got 3 independent films actually on the festival circuits. And one of them hasn't been released yet. It's called Bygone Billy. But Homeless Ashes we did in the UK in London. And that's touring around. It's made its US tour as well. And the one called Bewildered that is written and directed by Anne and Gregor Wilson. Keith David and I play husband and wife. And it's about Alzheimer's. We're going to be in Atlanta on Morehouse School of Medicine's campus January 11th, premiering and screening that movie, as well as Q&A, and Keith and I both are singing. So I'm excited about that.
Well, I'm excited about it too. And I'm so excited that you have taken the time out to be here on the edge with me and my brands. Thank you, Maria Howell. Again, I am a huge fan. I go back and watch the Have and Have Nots and Hunger Game and everything. I can binge on you all weekend.
I also tell people too, you can go right to my website. I'll answer you back. I typically email myself personally because I like that personal touch. So mariahowell.com and people can find me on social media easily as well. So I'd love to hear from you.
You are a shining, radiant star. And thank you. Thank you for being a role model for, you know, for Black women and Black women in the industry. Brains, we're doing it. We are doing it big here on The Edge. Go back and listen to other edgy conversations. We got you on Spotify, LinkedIn, Twitter. You know the drill. Thank you again, Maria. And happy holidays to you and your family. And much success. I honor you, my sister.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, Brains.